Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Monday, November 22nd, Rivalry Week, the greatest rivalry in all of sport. We are going to talk about a number of things this week. We will kind of today and tomorrow and then the main show, we will discuss the past weekend of college football, but it's too important of a week to focus on the past when you have something looming on the horizon that is an epic matchup. Finally, I mean, we will find out, right? In hindsight, as with 2020, we will know, you know, who, how good and how competitive can Michigan be with Ohio State. But on the forefront, looking forward, it looks like probably the most competitive matchup since 2016 in 5 years, at least it should be, right? And so we're going to focus on that game mostly this week and the other great rivalries out there, like the Iron Bowl this weekend. And there's a number of awesome rivalries, but none can match the history, the tradition, and the intensity of the game in the Big House this weekend. Ohio State travels to Michigan. Chris, are you ready?
Not quite. I'm kind of working towards getting ready. It's funny, dude. So today's my mom's birthday.
Mm-hmm. And happy birthday, mom.
My mom went to Michigan, dog. So I am like, I'm sure all she wants for her birthday is something like this to happen. And now she's at Penn State now. She refuses to go everywhere else except for Ohio State. Mm-hmm. You know me, I'm a big Buckeye guy. So a little bit of tension at the birthday dinner today. I'm sure there will be. But yes, Doug, I am absolutely ready. And for the first time, like you said, to 2016, this one feels really real, like all the way around. Like this should be a top five matchup. And yep, like you said, it'll be the first top five matchup, since 2016. And the difference between now and 2016 was that game was in Columbus in 2016.
Yep. Even years in Columbus, odd years in Ann Arbor, it's as old as the hills. And so before we get to talking about it, we definitely need to shout out and thank those of you that stopped by the Michigan State tailgate. We had a blast. Not quite the turnout of Penn State, but we knew that noon game, a little colder. Michigan State had lost, but it was still awesome, an awesome time, awesome turnout. Thank you for those of you that came out. We wrapped up the season, four events, and we raised, I think, around $10,000 for charity. $5,000 going to Braxton Miller's Foundation, where he does a number of things for youth sports, kids, school supplies, all kinds of stuff. You can check that out. And then also half of it going to the Earl and Jean Bruce Charitable Benefits, where we do a number of different things. We do stuff with youth sports as well as Alzheimer's research. And it started as an Alzheimer's fund, but we've expanded that. And the biggest thing that I've been talking about and telling people about, and the feedback has been tremendous, is the Zone 6 Fund. The Zone 6 Fund is, we just created it. It's going to be my way to kind of give back and still impact, you know, kids through athletics. And so what I didn't think about, I just, in my mind, I'm like, all right, we're going to do all these fundraisers to raise funds so that I can do this stuff, right? To sponsor athletes as they, you know, try to get elite development for kids without the means to pay for elite development. That's mm-hmm. the point of the story, right? Trying to improve Columbus City sports and let's get some scholarship kids in Columbus, more so than we have in the past. And so if first and foremost, we have our squares, championship squares for charity, $100. You buy a square, you could win up to $300 on a final score, plays in 8 games, 5 conference championship games, and the 3 college football playoff games. So let's definitely try to at least fill up one board. I think we're about half full right now, 2 weeks out. So go ahead and shoot a Venmo to Cameron Media, $100. You'll be on the board. Or just shoot me an email with any questions, zach@menacetosports.com. So that's one way. But also we've already had one person reach out saying they wanted to sponsor a kid themselves. They wanted they didn't know how to do it or how to pick it. So they wanted to, donate the money to sponsor one kid. So now we're working on that. I didn't think about doing that, but yeah, if anyone's interested in sponsoring a kid, like just, I can give you all the details of what the cost is going to be for one off season. And we're going to build it that way. One kid by kid, off season by off season, and try to, let's try to get somebody like from a lesser advantageous background or mm-hmm. situation, and let's get them into an advantageous one. That's my goal. So Chris, that's my passion. That's what we're doing. That's kind of the housekeeping, cleaning, whatever you want to call it, that I had to get out there. So make sure you just buy a square, reach out to me if you want to help. It's going to be awesome. I have a meeting this week trying to figure out how to identify the right ones that deserve mm-hmm. it and are going to be those success stories. So really excited about it. But so that's that. That is what I got, Chris. That's my house cleaning.
Well, then let's get into it, because, dog, this was, I mean, I told you off air right before we went on, this was one of the crazier weeks that we've had kind of in sports for a while. I mean, we have LeBron punching someone in the face. We have the madness that ensued after that. We have Baker and the Browns almost losing to the Detroit Lions, who are now 0-9-1. And that, you know, and then on the flip side, on the college football world, you are going to have to take a couple victory laps here, because you said it on the show multiple times, multiple weeks ago. I'm talking like 3 or 4 weeks ago. You said Utah will beat Oregon that first meeting. And that happened. And it was a boat race, and it wasn't even close.
Not even close.
And you know, I saw someone on Twitter, I think his name is Parker, does a lot of that the data stuff. He said he's convinced that Oregon's not a real football team, that they were manufacturing in a lab to give Ohio State this extra chip on their shoulder to run through some things. and so to give them a reason to switch DCs, like it's crazy. And then additionally, you know, you have Michigan with a competent offense boat racing somebody. You have CJ Stroud potentially locking up the Heisman. I'll talk about that in a little bit. The same weekend, a couple hours before, you probably have Jameson Williams locking up the Biletnikoff Award. Like, it's unbelievable the slate of college football we had. And then, you know, I called Arkansas. I thought, you know, that they were going to beat Bama. I was wrong. But the things that I said on the show that would happen kind of happened. And what ended up being the ultimate equalizer, the ultimate, you know, finisher, punisher, ended up being former Buckeye Jameson Williams, who went absolutely berserk. And now we're looking ahead to rivalry week and an enormous week in college football. You know, you have Cincinnati looks like they're going to be in the top four. You know, Ohio State maybe could leap Alabama. Like this – like, Zach, it's all shaking up. It's shaping up to be one of the better endings of the season that we've had in a long time.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And, you know, this is what you want, right? You want these last regular season games to matter, the rivalry games to matter. You want the championship games that you want them to matter. Not that the Big Ten's will, and really the only one that probably will is the SEC championship game, barring some upset, right? But you want the games to matter. You don't want Michigan, Ohio State to not matter, despite the hatred and Ohio State fans that want Michigan to lose every game. You don't want that. Mm-hmm. You really don't. Even if you think you don't, even if as you watch the game, you can't root for Michigan or want them to win, you want this feeling right now. No matter if you're too stubborn to want it during the year, you want this to be for all the marbles. You want this game to be for who's going to Indianapolis. You want this game to be for who's going to the playoffs. You want this game to mean that. And so here we are, and it does. And it's going to be awesome to see. And like you said, CJ Stroud was unbelievable this weekend. Now, I have a little bit of experience in college football, so I'm not going to sit here and act like my predictions being so spot on are like make me some type of guru. But I guess in the landscape of sports media, that is uncommon.
Yeah, no, fuck that, dude. Take a real victory lap. Sprint around like you're Bryce Harper. Dude. What the fuck? No way. Well, victory lap.
It's not hard to see, right? You watch the film and you see how bad Michigan State is defensively, and then you watch Kenneth Walker. And I've always said, like, you need to watch. You can't just look at him against, you know, Western Michigan and say, wow, this guy's ridiculous. Or even Michigan, right? He toasted Michigan's ass. You got to say, all right, who did he not play great against? That's why I went back and watched Nebraska and Indiana, and I saw how they did it. I'm like, all right, this is going to be that type of game, right? Ohio State has the D tackles to absolutely dominate this run game because it's all stretch. Like, mm-hmm. It'd be one thing if they had multiple schemes, which one of my biggest knocks on Ohio State is they really do the same thing as Michigan State. They run stretch zone. That's it. And then I think the biggest thing that we saw that I said needed to happen, right, is Michigan State, that was their offense, right? They run the ball with Kenneth Walker. We had to dominate that with the two interior guys, and we had to load the box. We did that, check mark Buckeyes. And then their pass game was Peyton Thorne launching it deep. He did it four times, and they completed zero passes over 20 yards. That he only completed 3 of 10 or 3 of 14, really over 10 yards. So the secondary was on it, on point. They did a great job bottling up that I guess you could call it. It's not really a multiple passing attack, but they bottled up what Michigan State traditionally had done. And it was an absolute ass beating. And then to think that CJ Stroud was going to go, I mean, this kid was a perfect, let's see. Let me tell you the most unbelievable thing. And this is where you can't take CJ Stroud's performance on Saturday and just project it for the Michigan game, because Ohio State did an absolutely amazing job at protecting him. I mean, he dropped back to pass 38 times and was only pressured 5 times. I mean, it's stupid. Now, what he did do, they didn't blitz him much, and it's, I've said it for 3 years now, and I'll scream it from the top of the mountaintops. If a defense starts blitzing a quarterback and the quarterback is gashing them, they stop. Because they don't, because think about it. If they're blitzing and the offensive line's picking it up, and the quarterback is executing against lesser people in coverage, and it's a bad formula for the defense, right? That's what happened to Michigan State. They blitzed 8 times, and CJ Stroud was 7 for 7, 100% completion percentage, 70 yards, 1 touchdown, and they said, "No, Moss, stop blitzing this kid." And then he just carved him up with versus base
time. So
it was unbelievable. Outstanding game by him. 4 for 5 on deep balls. 80% is absurd, right? And then I think he was 6 for 6 from 10 to 20 yards. So he was just, I mean, there weren't a lot of incompletions on the field, but he played outstanding. I mean, just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So he was really good. And like, anytime you have more touchdowns and incompletions, like, that is like hyper alarming. Yeah. You know, averaging about 12.3 yards per attempt, which is outrageous. And the numbers on this Ohio State team keep going up and up and up. And now we're looking at by points per game, the number one scoring offense. We're looking at the number third passing offense, about 10 yards per attempt. We're looking at the number one rushing offense at 5.82 yards per carry. And we're looking at, you know, yards per play offense is at 8 yards a play. So that what they've done, like, analytically speaking, those are all what they call snap points, where you expect really enormous numbers. And that's what he's given them. And Zach, he's locked up the Heisman, and here's, well, almost locked up the Heisman, and here's why. People are going to talk about that if Bryce Young beats Georgia, he can end up winning the Heisman. And I think it'll be over before that if CJ Stroud beats Michigan. Because here's why. People don't realize, or people forget, that most of these Heisman votes, to quote-unquote avoid recency bias, are actually in before that championship week.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it is. So even if Bryce Young beats Georgia, a lot of those votes are already going to be in. And I think that if CJ Stroud beats Michigan, it's funny because he'll be the fourth best player on the offense, but he'll win the Heisman, because it's what I told you on Saturday. It's voter default. Well, who's the best offense? Who's the quarterback of that offense? Default.
Yeah, that's generally what the Heisman is, right? And I won't even go as far as to say he's the fourth best, because there's some ridiculous offensive linemen. He's the fourth best skill player, I think, is what you mean to say.
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't want to take anything away from him. He's
had
an unbelievable stretch post the first 4 weeks of the year. He's been unbelievable. And some people just can't take their fan glasses off. And it's like they're screaming on Twitter, like, "I need everyone to apologize for the disrespect on CJ Stroud early in the year." It's like, timeout, no. No, that's not what this is. He wasn't very good. Like, it was not disrespect. He needed to get better. He needed to get healthy. He needed to, you know, do better. And now he has. So there was no disrespect early on. That was just honest evaluation. And sometimes fans can't handle that. It's like, "You said he sucks." Like, no one said he sucks. And he has done exactly what a lot of people, and what I have said on my show, needed to happen, right?
He had to improve. He had to improve.
And just to have a game, like, let's not expect the same results this coming Saturday, because, like I said, he was only pressured 5 times. Michigan has probably the best defensive end duo in the country. He's going to be under pressure, under duress, and we'll get into kind of CJ Stroud walking into that environment for the first time here in a minute. But I think what is crazy, I mean, regardless of who you're playing, right? And I've said this, you can learn things against bad opponents just like you can against great opponents, right? And Michigan State passing defense realm was awful. And he was 32 of 35 with a drop, mind you. Garrett Wilson had 1 drop. So 3 incompletions, one of them was a drop. So he really only had 2 incompletions. I think the most impressive thing was all six of his touchdowns were throws over 10 yards. And everyone knows that's, I've been preaching about that stat forever, right? Under pressure and over 10 yards. That's where NFL quarterbacks live. And, you know, average quarterbacks that are putting up gaudy numbers a lot of times live in those shorter throws, you know, to inflate their completion percentage, maybe some screens, and that's where they get most of their yards. But when you evaluate them over 10 yards, they hit it more like 45% or 40% completion percentage. CJ Stroud's 10 for 11 over 10 yards, six touchdowns. I mean, he had a day. But don't project that as what is going to happen this coming weekend. He's facing a much better defense in the rivalry game, just to start there. And we'll obviously get into a full analysis later in the week, but I just want to temper everyone down and, you know, so they don't get their hopes up that he's going to go 40 for 40 for eight touchdowns.
Yeah, you're 100% right. This week will be different. I mean, to point to those Michigan defensive ends, I mean, that they're essentially Walmart version of what we would have had from Nick Bosa and Chase Young that one year before Nick got hurt. I mean, they're both going to be top 13 picks. And the one kid, I mean, he was a practice squad player last year, and what he's doing is absolutely incredible. He's kind of exploded on. So it should be interesting. And for the first, you know, I worry about moments sometimes. I was telling you, we've talked about this a couple times. With Justin Fields, when he came in, an absolute warrior, extreme mental fortitude, never shaken, always laser focused. And almost when he got hit, you saw kind of the look in his eyes, kind of him have competitive greatness. Once he gets hit, like, that's a chip on his shoulder. Let's get better. We saw it against Clemson. Dwayne Haskins grew up an Ohio State fan. Obviously, that famous clip of him as a kid saying, I'm going to be a quarterback here one day, and kind of idolizing guys like Troy Smith. This rivalry meant so much to him. With CJ Stroud, he's a California kid. And you know, this would be the game that you have circled for. If the moment is too big, this would be it. Because we saw the moment being too big at Oregon. This one is, you know, big house. Like, this is it. This is the rivalry. And I wonder if he's kind of soaked in how much this means, considering because of what happened last year, this will be his first time being on the team for a rivalry like this.
Yeah, it definitely will. And so I think, you know, when you talk about this game, that's why it's so different than you can't evaluate the Michigan State game and project anything in this game, because especially going on the road, although I've been very honest about my evaluation of the Big House. It's honestly not even in my top 10 stadiums or atmospheres in the country, mainly because of how it's built. But anyways, not to shit on the environment, but I mean, it's just not a great, I mean, it's a wide open bowl. Like, it's not that loud. It's not that intimidating. It's just not. But the rivalry is, right? Especially for a first timer, a virgin, like, he's going to pop his rivalry cherry this weekend. And he has only been a part of, well, he hasn't been a part of any, right? He had one year where they could have played, but they didn't because of COVID, and it was going to be at home. So even if he did, you know, he would have had that security blanket, and he wasn't playing, right? Mm-hmm. So he was just kind of watching. So, and never mind the fact that they didn't play, so he didn't even get to experience that. So this is going to be his first time, and I'm telling you, the buzz is different. The aura is different. Everything is different in this game, and that's not just, you know, rivalry talk. Like, it's real. When you go on the field in pregame warmups, it feels entirely different than any other game that you coach in, play in, or attend. It just does. And this is where it really exposes guys one way or the other, right? It can expose you as a true competitor, a true tough guy, or it can expose you as a phony, right? Dwayne Haskins got thrown into the fire in 2017 when JT got hurt by a cameraman on the sideline. And honestly, everyone on the team was all eyes on him, like, oh boy, because Dwayne wasn't the toughest guy in the world, right? He was a little bit of a front runner, and everyone's like, man, we are going to find out what this motherfucker's made of right here, right now. No, there's nowhere else to hide. Like, we have to find out, is Dwayne Haskins going to be a real dude? I saw it at Florida, a guy named John Brantley, five-star quarterback, Gatorade National Player of the Year, like, threw a pretty reminded me so much of Dwayne. Threw a pretty ball, really great drop back quarterback. But when he got thrown in the fire, it was a complete shutdown, turn it down, want no part of it. And just, he was an extremely below average player because of it. That was the concern with Dwayne. And when he went on the field And he the first drive, right? He made a couple throws. He takes off and scrambles, gets hit, pops up. He's got a little swagger. I remember I'm on the sideline. I'm the one that talks to the quarterback in game. And I'm like, you know, very, very treading very lightly before the game. And then once I saw that competitiveness in his eye, and when I'm talking to him, he's like burning like laser beams through my eyeballs into my soul as I'm talking to him. I'm on the headset right as he took the field. I'm like, hey, we're good. This motherfucker's ready. Let's go. Open it up. Go. Like, he is ready. And you saw it, but you never saw that from him. You never saw that from him before then. But he flipped the switch and he became a competitive motherfucker. And no one knew that existed. In mat drills a couple times in the offseason, you saw it kind of come out. And that's where you develop that, right? That's why they train that in the offseason so hard. So in this game, you can flip the switch and you have something to fall back on and kind of relate to bring it out. I don't know if CJ Stroud has that. He doesn't carry himself like someone that has it. But you never know until the fire's lit and you push that motherfucker in it.
Yeah, and I think part of, you know, the Dwayne thing is interesting as well because, you know, there's a guy that everybody knew, at least I could kind of feel it, that Joe had that, but he was hurt. Like you wouldn't have worried too much about Joe.
Joe had it. You knew, yeah. Joe had it. You knew Matt drills. He would try to rip people's faces off in Matt drills. You're like, okay, this kid has that. We got to figure out what else he has, but he has that.
like kind of the craziest fuck, like I'm going to, you know, rip your heart out and watch it stop beating type mentality and toughness. And I, you know, Dwayne had it. We saw it a little bit later. Like, he definitely has a competitive chip on his shoulder, at least when we got in game. Don't know about the prep and all that. But you know, you do kind of worry about CJ because, unlike, you know, CJ didn't grow up an Ohio State fan and he didn't even get to kind of dip his toes in at any point because, like you said, it didn't happen last year to get to go through the walkthrough. I mean, this will be the first time that he is entrenched in it. And even with Dwayne, I believe, yeah, because he sat a year, didn't play at all. And then the next year, that was his redshirt freshman year, he went in. So that he'd already been around it for, he'd already been in that game for 2 years. And then after that is kind of when you saw it. So interesting stuff. You know, CJ, man, this is going to be the test because, in all honesty, like being the quarterback at Ohio State, the expectation is Heisman's, you know, playoff appearances. And the big one, the prerequisite is to beat Michigan. And, you know, the last time we lost to Michigan, really, I mean, we are a one overthrow away from not losing a game to Michigan since 2003. And that's unbelievable.
It's crazy. It's been complete domination. And that's why I think this one is for those of you who really your era of watching this rivalry was kind of 2003 until now, you don't understand what this game was when it mattered, right? Mm-hmm. And what it is, hopefully now again, back in the 90s, I mean, in the 80s, like always, this game was, you could not ever count on anything to happen in this game. And it feels like it's back. Like CJ Stroud and the pass offense are going to dominate this, or the defense will dominate this. It's like, nope, timeout, no. You could take all analytics, all film, take it all and throw it the fuck away. None of that matters. This game is entirely different. This is all about who wants it more, who's going to go harder, whose hatred runs deeper. It was never about matchups. It was never about who was the better team. I mean, several Ohio State teams that were probably best in the country lost to below average Michigan teams because it didn't matter in this game. It just doesn't. And we lost that for a while with some coaching turnover at Michigan and Harbaugh's goofy ass not prioritizing this game. But I think it's back. I think he's prioritizing it again. I think those kids really hate Ohio State. It's like it's something else. You get your ass beat 7 times in a row. At some point, you're going to be like, all right, man, I'm tired of getting my ass whooped. Like, right. I'm going to bow up and I'm going to fucking throw a punch back. And at some point that's going to happen. I think this year's the year, not calling it an upset, but I think this is the year where you can throw it all out the window. This is going to be a dogfight, and we're going to find out who's tougher, who wants it more, and who hates the opponent more.
This game is so healthy for the sport and the rivalry. Like the you know, the last year situation with Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh telling them worry about your own team, all that, and then kind of this year the flipping the switch over there in Ann Arbor, talking about, you know, they've bullied us for seven fucking years. So it's beat Ohio State or die trying. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be the year where somebody falls on that sword. Like this is going to be that year. And I think for our playoff chances, additionally, we have to see how CJ Stroud reacts to getting hit hard and getting up. And can he get back to dealing? Can he shake that out? Has he really grown from those early games? Or does he need it to be a 7-on-7 pocket for him to be a championship level quarterback?
And I'll tell you what, you want to win the Heisman Trophy, CJ? If he hasn't listened yet, I'm sure he listens every day. But mm-hmm. if he hasn't, go tag him on Twitter, because I'm going to tell him right now, CJ, you want to win the Heisman Trophy? You want to vault your team to a championship, a Big Ten championship, and then future college football playoff berth? There's one thing you have to do, and only one thing. Early in this game, when you get pressured, take the fuck off and scramble. Get a first down. Don't go out of bounds. Lower your shoulder into somebody. Stand up and flex. The fucking Buckeye Nation will erupt and explode and know that you are ready. You are here for this rivalry, and you're here to carry the team to a championship. That's what they need right now. You do that, I'm telling you, it is over. The whole, Michigan's coaches will be like, oh, son of a bitch. He's going to run now. Fuck me. That's what they'll say. Like, they'll be like, damn it. The one thing we didn't have to worry about. Now he's going to do that shit too. And it'll be over. He'll become the most dynamic player in the country the minute he does it.
Yeah. And he's, you know, I'll say this, Zach. CJ Stroud has arrived nationally. But if he wants to arrive in Ohio State lore forever, that scenario has to play out.
You got to have a moment, right? You got to mm-hmm. have that. And I'm not talking about a Heisman moment. I think this past weekend he had one of those. I mean, right. That performance was absurd. But if he wants to have, you know, you just look at it. Darren Lee on the fumble return for a touchdown, arms out. Curtis Samuel into the end zone, arms out. Braxton Miller making that guy miss in the hole, stiff arm, and Blake Countess as he scores a touchdown, right? Devin Smith reaching out and catching a 45-yard bomb with his fingertips. Like everyone, Zach Boren flexing over the quarterback, mm-hmm. right? All these players.
Justin Fields goes out of the game.
Yeah, knee, comes in from
comes
injury.
Back in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Every legend in Buckeye allure has a moment in this game. And they might not even be the greatest players in the world, right? But they have a moment in this game where you're like, wow. Like, you are forever etched into Ohio State history because of that. CJ needs that in this game. He needs it. But I do want to talk before we move on, and not that there's much to move on from, being that it is this week. I do kind of want to talk about what is going on in the Woody right now. Like, what is it like on the inside? That's one of the benefits of the show, right? Like, is I can give you a sneak peek into what is going on the inside, because it's very different. And we're going to play a clip right now just to get you going a little bit. But the first thing that everyone knows now, but it's the most annoying thing in the world, but it gets your mind right, because it happens once a year. And the minute you walk in the Woody on Sunday and that bitch is playing, is It's Time for War by LL Cool J. And it is the minute you walk in, your mindset changes, because you heard it in the off season. You kind of know all about it, and you forget about it because you're in the middle of season. And then you walk in on Sunday and that it's almost like Pavlov's dogs, right? It's Time for War is blaring, and you just know, like, oh shit, we better buckle the fuck up, because this is it's different this week. And that thing plays on loop 24 hours a day, even after people leave. Like, if there was nights where I would stay behind to work on my third down game plan or whatever, as people left, you know, I'd stay an extra 30 minutes, and still, like, I'm like, no one's here. Like, where's the off button? Where do I stop this shit? But you can't. I don't even know where it is. I think it's like in a lockbox in Ryan Day's office where he only has the key. Like, I don't know where the stop or play button is, but it plays on loop nonstop. And just, it's different. And it's intentional, right? When you're scripting practice as a coach, like, you literally can't hear yourself think. It's hard to do. It's hard to script. It's hard to plan. It's hard to organize. I remember Tom Herman would get earplugs that you take to the shooting range, and then literally airport headphones. Earplugs and airport headphones, and put them on so he could script. So it's wild behind those closed doors. And
that's insane. That gives me chills, dog.
Oh, everything's different. I mean, from the scout team, it's really cool what they do. I mean, the equipment guys tape the scout team's helmet with blue and then with yellow wings, and they make the Michigan helmets out of tape. Like, as easy as it could be, with as much money as they have, to purchase some blue helmets, put stickers on them, and just have them wear that. In rivalry week, it's like, no, this is tradition. We want this to be a shitty version of their helmet. So these kids, these trainers, spend all day Sunday and Monday recreating Michigan's helmets for the scout team. It's just like, man, so many cool traditions. And I saw one that is one of the coolest traditions. is the band comes and plays and does Script Ohio on Sunday night for the team. And the players get to march in the band, and it's really cool. And then you have the guy up there doing the conducting, and it's just it's one of the coolest traditions. And there's so many little traditions that I think people know about that one, but there's so many little traditions that go on that people don't realize, because it's a lot. There's a lot going on. There's probably some that I forgot about. Right. That if someone brought up, I'd be like, oh shit, that's right. But it's just very different, a very different week. Everything is different. It reminds me of a championship level game, even if, championship aspirations are not on the line. There were several times where Michigan was not in the running, and it still felt like you were playing for the BCS national championship or the College Football Playoff national championship or the Big Ten championship. So it's just different. It's a different feeling, different vibe, and it's really awesome. And it's, man, there's nothing like it, right? A little Thanksgiving turkey, get a nice nap. Friday, nobody works. Just kind of chill, relax, and prepare for what is the biggest game, in the history of college football, if you ask these two teams.
I do want to ask you something kind of as we wrap up the show. The one year, I believe it was 2013, Ohio State, Michigan, you guys are walking down the tunnel, and Michigan players, bust out of the locker room. It's like that big time video. I'm going to have it up on the Menace to Sports page later today. And you can hear the Michigan players talking crazy. And then our team is like, wait a second, what's going on? I want to hear about that moment, what that was like for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, people shit on me every time I bring this up, but it's absolutely fucking true. So they can kiss my ass. That was when the rivalry, I mean, granted, we got them, like we beat them in 2013. I mean, we intercepted a 2-point conversion to beat them when they went for 2 to win it. So it's not like it was a blowout or anything like that, but those games felt like they were supposed to, right? Later on in the Michigan tenures, right? Whether it was, really when Jim Harbaugh took over, it wasn't, it didn't feel the same. And you could tell that they didn't have the emphasis that Brady Hoke had. I know Brady, you could talk all about the statistics, the records, why Brady Hoke sucks. I don't care. I don't care, because Brady Hoke valued that game, and you could tell from the energy, the aura of that Michigan team. Like, they hated Ohio State and wanted to fight Ohio State, right? And as a matter of fact, they did fight Ohio State in that game, right? A bunch of players got ejected. Marcus Hall said what's up to the crowd and as he left. But yeah, that was my first time coaching in the Big House, right? We had beaten them in 2012, and then we were coming back in 2013, and I think they were kind of pissed, right? We were at that point, we were 23-0 coming into the Big House, and they were like, they were not going to stand for it, right? This was their house. They didn't like us. And Michigan Stadium is very bizarre because it has one tunnel. Most stadiums have an away tunnel and a home tunnel. They have one tunnel. So if you don't time it right, like you're passing them by nonstop. And these people hate each other, right? And so we were coming in from pregame warmups, and they were already in. And as we came up, you started hearing the wolfing, right? You started hearing the barking behind their doors. We got most of the team in. And as we got in, Mike Vrabel and I walked in and we shut the doors, right? Well, then the Michigan team comes out and they are barking like crazy, talking mad shit, like approaching our locker room. Well, our kids aren't going to stand for that. But Vrabel and I are trying to hold the door shut, trying to keep the kids back. And I mean, you can imagine with that much excitement, that much energy, that much hatred, like these kids were trying to, it's like a dog that was trying to get out after a squirrel out in the yard, and you're trying to hold it back like with one finger. It's like
they really primal. It felt primal.
I mean, it was nuts. And I'm holding the door, Vrabel's holding, and Vrabel's a bigger guy than I'm no little bitch, but Vrabel's a big dude, right? So we're both holding the door. Next thing I know, my chest is going like out the door, and my arms are holding the frames, trying to hold players back, and it almost like tore my shoulder out of socket or broke my arm, and I could feel it about to happen until finally I just had to let go. And that's when floodgate opens, right? And then Vrabel's like, okay, Zach tapped out apparently, so I got to let go too. So he kind of let it go. And then it was just trying to pull them back in so they don't get in a fist fight and somebody gets ejected. Well,
and that's the clip you see. That's the clip you see.
That's a clip you see of all of Jeff Heuermann and Devin Smith, and they're all going at it. And that game was a war. And that's what this game is. And man, I hope there's a little pregame shit talking. I hope there's you feel that energy right now. Let's hope people don't leave the sideline and, throw punches and get ejected. That would be unfortunate. But make no mistake, Michigan had a plan in that game. They knew Dontre Wilson was a little hothead, kind of a shitbag. And they knew that if they got in his head and that he would go off. And he did. Right. They hit him a little late, pushed him a little late, probably called him a bitch. And next thing you know, he's throwing punches. And then people are leaving the sideline. Right. What you didn't see and what you didn't know is as they ejected, you know, they ejected Marcus Hall because he came off the bench, right? Mike Thomas came off the bench. They didn't see that, threw a couple punches, but he was redshirting, so he wasn't playing anyways. But the one guy who should have got ejected that didn't, if you really go back and watch it, was Braxton Miller. He came off the sideline, squared up, did a little wop, bop, bop, got two punches in. He should have got ejected. But I don't know whether they didn't see it or whether they were like, come on, we can't eject Braxton Miller in this game.
Oh,
but
shit.
He should have got ejected in that game. And because Braxton's a real one now. He is
a real one. Stroud.
Like, he's not just going to stay on the sideline. Like, if it's popping off, Braxton's in the middle. Like,
I mean, shit, Braxton would be with
the tailgate. That created one of the first moments of contention for Urban Meyer in his program because he called Michael Thomas in and absolutely berated him. When we got back on Saturday, I mean, just went off on him and he never said anything to Braxton. And mind you, Mike and Braxton went out together. So that's when you do stuff like that as a coach, that's when players start to see you as a little bit of a phony, right? And that's, yeah. I think that's when Mike lost a lot of respect for Urban and not here to like say Mike doesn't respect Urban Meyer, but I think that's when Mike was like, all right, I see you for who you are. Like, gotcha. I won't do it again, coach. Yes, sir. But if you're, you know, you gotta be equal. You can't do that to one and not the other. But anyways, not to bring up a lot of dirt. This is not the time or place for that. But but I mean, it was a wild experience, right? Mm-hmm. Dudes are on the field throwing punches, getting ejected. It was nuts.
I was in my house, jaw dropped, man. Little Chris Drew. I was still in high school. I was tripping out. Me and my mom would watch the game from two different rooms because she's obviously went to Michigan. So she, you know, we lived in the hood, little real small house. So like upstairs, you could kind of hear inverse cheering. So when something went well and something didn't go well, hell of a game. So Zach, that's all I have for today. Super fucking excited for this week. We're going to have kind of the rundown on all things Ohio State, Michigan, an insider look like no other. Obviously, no one else has this perspective. And if you're not on board now is the time to absolutely get on board. We do want to answer questions. So if you want to get a question answered, go leave us a 5-star review with the question either on Spotify or on iTunes. And we're going to take the last 5 minutes of every show to answer the juiciest and the best we can questions all week because it is that week. So we'll have a lot of content up this week, so you're not going to want to miss it. So make sure you add us and stick around this week. It's going to be absolutely crazy.
That's it, man. That's the plan. So leave us a review with your questions, and we will get to those. What was my hashtag? Did I make a hashtag?
Oh, yeah. Hashtag.
Let's go Harbaugh.
Let's go Harbaugh.
Let's go Brandon. Yeah. We're going to get that going this week. I forgot about it because you were talking. I was like, damn, I had an idea about a hashtag. So give me on Twitter, tag us, at Menace of Sports, your favorite Harbaugh being a bitch or weird moment, sleeping over with kids, whatever it is, shirt off and khakis playing speedball. It doesn't matter what it is. Give us your favorite Harbaugh moment and hashtag let's go Harbaugh. And let's get this hate week going, baby. It's rivalry week. We will end the show with a little It's Time for War from LL Cool J to get your mind right. Thank you for tuning in. Menace out.
I am your host, LL Cool J. You said I was finished and Father Time was to blame. You disrespected my legacy and threw dirt on my name. Told DJs he's over, he ain't spitting the same. What he says is irrelevant, hip-hop culture has changed. When I walk in the room, young boys look at me strange, as if I am a relic from some long-forgotten game. It makes my blood boil, turns my eyes to flames. I built an empire, they tried to kick me out in the rain. So I called on an inner power, it's hard to explain. It's like the Holy Spirit utilizing hip-hop slang. I'm beyond the gold grills and logos on chains. You see, I changed rap forever, I elevated the game. Launched the greatest label in the history of rap, and for 24 years I carried it on my back. I've always shined brighter when I'm under attack. I might be down for a moment, but I always go back. It's time for war! It's time for war! It's time for war! It's time for war! It's time for war!
from the dead. They told me quit a long time ago, but I conquered instead. I had dreams and visions swirling around in my head. I had this hunger deep inside of me that has to be fed. Hip-hop will respect all of the blood that I shed. I have a covenant with God, I have swallowed the bread. Hip-hop, my co-defendant, with this mic I de-wed. I made an entire generation obey what we said. I'm talking France to Germany, from Italy to Japan, from London to Belgium to Afghanistan. From Farmers Boulevard, smoking a blunt with my man, to write rhymes on an ironing board to build Def Jam. You see, I'm the undisputed king of all hip-hop. Everything after is my legacy, like it or not. And I will keep making history, I just can't stop. LL Cool J, eternally
it's
high.
It's time for war!
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 It's time for war!
And switch the style around. Competition losing their footing, I see them falling down. They will plot against me and kill them because I'm balling now. Some of y'all didn't pick up the phone, but I got you calling now. This is a job that must get done, even if I become public enemy number one. If I have to pick up an Uzi that weighs over a ton, I will attack hip-hop until competition is none. Nobody on God's earth wants it with L. You end up tortured and trapped in psychological hell. And this is the beginning of a new era in rap. LL Cool J, feel the impact. It's okay if you call it a comeback, and let them know I'm ready for combat. Tell those dumb motherfuckers to fall back. The crown looks wrong on your head, I want
it's time
that
for war.